Hey parents, how's it going? It's Justin here with the Tardy Cast. I'm so happy you guys are tuning in today. So just a couple quick notes. Remember, tomorrow is Sugarfest, the 4th of November. It's going to be great. So bring your students, tell them to load up your car with their friends. This is the easiest way for you, even as a parent, to call up some of your friends who are also parents in your neighborhood, tell them to send their friends. It's not an overly Jesus thing. It's that we're not doing baptisms or communion. We're going to give them candy and run around and have fun with them. And it's a perfect junior high time for them to see church, for your friends, for their kids to see the church. And then who knows, maybe they'll come check out a weekend service and that'd be a really good deal. So that's tomorrow, Friday, Sugarfest, 7 to 10. And there's a lot of great parent stuff happening and marriage ministry stuff happening. You can check it all up online. They're doing an intentional parenting class. We're bringing in Buddy Mendez to do a Marriage Matters thing that also actually is tomorrow from, I think, 6:30 or 7 to 8:30 or 9. So all that info's online. But a lot of great stuff coming. Don't miss it. So that's just some housekeeping. Today, this is what we're going to talk about. You've probably heard the people at church, Kenton, Kyle, others, talking about Beyond. Maybe you've heard or seen your kid come home with a cup that we did in student ministries, and they also did it in the Port Mariners Kids to raise funds for this community center we're doing. And so maybe you've heard a little bit about it, and we want to take some time to really dive into it for you to get a little bit more behind the scenes of the why and talk a little bit about how to really engage your kids with it. And for leaders too, you know, we have great life groups who are doing incredible stuff to raise funds for the community center and buying in to a kind of a corporate vision we have of the church of providing a front door for the community. So this is what we did. I brought someone in. They're going to talk all about this. They are the architect of how we're going about the whole Beyond campaign. Why don't you introduce yourself, Kathy, and just tell a little bit about you and your history at Mariners and the whole deal.
Thanks, Justin. Well, I'm Kathy Workman, and I'm the Director of Strategic Initiatives here at Mariners, and happily have come back on staff this past July after 3 years away, but was previously a very happy staff member here. I love Mariners, and I'm really excited about the vision that we have for Beyond and the future of the community center and really the future of our church. And one thing that's been incredibly exciting as we move forward in this campaign has been the enthusiasm from your students. Seeing these cups all over campus, seeing junior hires, high school students, and kids coming up with amazing ideas for how to raise money, how to contribute, and to really breathe life into this vision for our church.
Now, first of all, your title is just incredible. I wish I had a title like that. I feel like Director of Strategic Initiatives, and I'm the junior high pastor. It doesn't sound fair. So when we talk about the community center with our students, you know, one of the things we really leaned into is the opportunity of what it's going to provide, you know, their friends, you know, their friends, parents, people within our community. And I think that a lot of people who are listening, parents, leaders, they're familiar with community center talk because we have community centers all around Orange County through outreach. So mm-hmm. When they hear community center at Irvine, some people scratch their heads like, why are we doing community center at Irvine? Not being on the other side of it, seeing it as a staff member, I know the reasons why. But for someone who's listening, you know, why are we doing a community center at Irvine? What need is it really meeting?
Absolutely. Well, as many of you know, the community centers that we have around Orange County have been strategically placed and are really directed at meeting the needs of the impoverished, the monetarily and physically impoverished, in places like Santa Ana and Orange, Tustin, where the population of the poor is much more visible. What we discovered through a lot of great research with city leaders, mayors, police chiefs, city council members at Newport, Irvine, and the surrounding areas of Costa Mesa, Santa Ana, Tustin, is that there is an impoverishment right in our backyard. While the growing middle-class poor in Irvine has become quite a problem with the academic and economic pressures on families, we're seeing a lot more calls of domestic violence and runaway children. And right now, the city's community centers, their after-school programs, they don't have the capacity to meet all the needs of the city. It's really a lot of relational need. And then, as many of you know, the divorce rate in Orange County is 72%, one of the highest rates in the country. These are not issues that cities and governments are equipped to handle. These are problems that the church is uniquely positioned to address. And while we would never abandon our heart and our commitment to serve the poor in Orange County, we realize that there are people living in the houses that are looking directly onto our campus that have deep, deep needs, both physical, relational, and spiritual. And right now, while we have the hearts and even often the programs to meet those needs, most of those people don't know. When they look onto our campus, there is no clear front door. And, you know, one of the things, the amazing opportunities that happened along with our debt being paid off is the city of Irvine coming to Mariners and asking if we could host the farmers market here every Saturday morning. So every Saturday, we have between 7,500 and 8,000 people on our campus. And the question that we hear most often, what is this place? Mm-hmm. They actually don't know. So we're committed to not only helping identify what this place is, but identifying what their needs are and how we can best position ourselves to meet them.
You know, when I was a kid, I remember the church I grew up at, and I think a lot of parents, if you think back to when you were a kid, the those who were lucky enough to live in a neighborhood where the church was just so close, like it was like the center of like your fun zone. Like you'd be the kid, and I was that kid. You'd be able to go and just mess around with the youth pastors there, and, you know, get out the toys and just play and hang out and just relax. You could study there and do homework there. And it was really a place of just connection and community and fun. And, you know, being a majorly a commuter campus, there aren't, you know, this hot, the residential areas around here, it's the way our campus is sometimes feels like, which is like you said, like, what is that? It feels like, well, we go to church there on Sundays. Maybe we do things there during the week and there's programs, mm-hmm. but it doesn't sometimes always feel like it has that home-esque. And, you know, you think of any home, mm-hmm. you know, home has a front door. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something we've been missing here.
Absolutely.
That this is totally meeting that need.
Yes. And I think we do want to create that space. I know, Justin, I'm sure for you, as it is for me, being here every day as a staff member, this place does feel like home. This campus is so friendly. It's so beautiful. There are so many places all over campus that, you know, are great for working, mm-hmm. for studying, for reading. But I don't think that's the experience that most of our people who come here have. And while our students have such an incredible experience on the weekends here, we want to open up more space for kids of all ages to know that this is a safe place they can come. They can have a blast. They can come and break stuff. They can learn some stuff. They can meet Jesus. Mm-hmm. They can meet people, great leaders and volunteers who want to spend time with them, who want to get to know them. And that this could be a place that really that light on a hill, you know, this place where everyone from our community would want to be here and know that they're going to find love, they're going to find connection, and hopefully we can meet some of their very real, tangible needs in the process.
So, you know, as we've been talking with our junior high and high school students and casting that vision, you know, we've been hearing stories come out, and I was fortunate to be on main stage this past weekend being able to share some of those stories. Mm-hmm. Stories coming out of life group leaders who are really taking initiative and really taking ownership. Stories of students who aren't just seeing this as a place. I mean, they're seeing it as the connection point for their parents. For, you know, I think of the specific story, a kid in our group, you know, for him, English is a second language. His parents, also English is a second language, and there's not a full grasp yet. They're still learning. And for him, he hears about the community center being a place for that. It's not just a building and a front door for him. Like, he's already walked through the front door and mm-hmm. is excited for what this is going to provide for his parents. And I mean, you know, for a junior high kid to get that level of need and grasp the empathy of others' needs and how this will fulfill it, I mean, is absolutely incredible. I love mm-hmm. that. And his life group's kind of is rallied around him. So for us who are listening, parents and leaders who are still saying, well, I it feels like there's a lot of buildings here. Like, why aren't we using one of those? I feel like you answered that because we really need that front door. We have a great student center for kids and a great, you know, Port Mariners or Chapel Fort. We have these great buildings for us. It's time for us to go beyond to do something that really is for the community.
Yeah.
So if I'm listening in as a parent and I'm thinking, well, I want to support that, and they've heard of all the ways you can support it, but let's move past financial support, which which I think is a huge part of it, which we're all a partner in that. And I want to move toward involvement. You know, if I'm a parent and I say, well, how can we be involved with this? You know, as this thing's built and it's redone, you know, what can I be thinking about as what I can share with my kids, my family? This is how we can be not just givers in this and supporters financially, but investors in this new ministry, this community center. Because this is the thing I love about community centers. And if you haven't served at a community center, like if you served at a community center, you've been around.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you haven't served in a community center, you're missing it. You're missing so much of the heart of our church. Because community centers is just where such great ministry happens. And so I hear a community center here on this campus. And for those who've served at community centers, they know that the great ministry that's done there is not necessarily staff members saying, hey, this is the plan, this is what we're going to do. The great community centers in these other areas of Orange County are volunteers in our church who are monsters. They're just monsters in the ministry. They're local community steering committees made up of members of that community to help move, you know, and you know, fight for the needs of that community. So when I hear community center and people who know community centers, they hear involvement, new opportunities for involvement, not just involvement in that place over there, but involvement in a different level in our own community. So how can parents and leaders be starting to think about, or how can we challenge them to think about how they could be real investors in this community center in the way that we've seen incredible volunteers flourish in other local community centers?
Absolutely. Well, one of my favorite things about this building is really its versatility. While it's being designed with many of the ministries we already have going on at Mariners, after school programs, ESL, sports camps, marriage counseling, while the building will certainly facilitate the needs of those growing ministries, it's actually built to be quite a blank slate. And there is opportunity to dream about how we can each be bringing our unique set of gifts and talents, our passions for the community, to this space and really build new and flourishing ministries. And as parents of students, what I really would encourage you to do is get into a conversation with your students. For most of us, our kids are the ones who are actually exposed to the people in our community in ways that are unique. You know, so many of our workplaces, you know, it lacks the diversity that really portrays the needs of the community. So for many of us, we have been, including myself, just blind to these needs because I'm not exposed to them. But I think about my nieces and nephews who are at an elementary school in Irvine, which is a Title I school. And many of their classmates don't speak English. Their parents don't speak English. Many of them don't know where their next meal is coming from. Many of them are participating in after-school programs that are doing a fine enough job, but we really have an opportunity to take things to the next level. But in entering conversations with kids and students, we get to learn more about the needs and then dream together. What is it that you wish you could do? What is it that you see about your friend's life that you wish you could change? What would you want to offer? What is it that you have in your own life that you as parents are able to provide your kids, and talking with them about things that might be missing from the lives of their friends, and then dreaming together about how you might even serve together to meet some of those needs? I think just having conversations about the different needs of the community with your students, and then encouraging conversations and dreaming, and then getting to serve together. You know, there are a lot of great opportunities that are just ready to jump in. Our resource center is a great place to serve as a family. And then, you know, we met a veterinarian the other day, and he said, I'd love to offer free vaccinations, have vaccination clinics once a month through the new community center. That's a ministry that would never have come to my mind, but that's his skill. That's his passion. He talked about offering music classes and recycling the instruments that, you know, are often mm-hmm. required at our through our public education system, but then discarded. Mm-hmm. You know, how many old clarinets do you guys have lying around you might want to donate and put to use through this new space?
So, you know, I look at that as the youth pastor of, you know, a large number of students, and I think about the parent, and I hear this is what you're saying, and I affirm it. You know, parents, this is a great opportunity for you to spark conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, most junior high kids that I know, they don't start talking like just out of nowhere. They'll talk, but the content of what they're talking about most of the time is sometimes shenanigans. To get great depth out of our students to what they're really thinking or feeling or seeing, it comes with a certain level of validation that if a parent is able to sit with their student and provoke a conversation around, you know, what are you dreaming about? What needs do you see? What are you experiencing at school or see on your sports team or as you're walking around, the people you interact with, your circles of influence? What are you hearing? What are you learning? And then it's sometimes easy to ask that question, but to model, you know, giving great answers. Parents, when you lean in first and say, you know, this is what I'm seeing, or when I was in junior high or high school, this is what I saw. These were some of the friendships I had. Validate for them that the things that they can notice, because sometimes, you know, I remember when I grew up, I was dirt poor. So I didn't have a lot of nice clothes. We were very, very poor. It just was what my mom did. I mean, she did an incredible job, the best she could. But when it came to, man, mom, I really want those new Jordans, you know, that just wasn't going to happen. But she did the best that she could. So students are in tune with, you know, others that struggle in their school. But sometimes we feel like, oh, well, I don't want to label them the poor kid. So if I'm asked, what am I noticing? What am I seeing? Even though that's right in front of me, I may not verbalize it because I don't know if it's okay to. Mm-hmm. Parents, when we set the standard for what is okay and how to, you know, verbalize it, how to identify needs and what needs look like, and how to care for those people, and how to provoke ideas around how to serve them better, it's going to validate what your student is seeing and feeling and help them open up to you, their parent. I mean, who do we want them to open up? And leaders, they're going to love the ideas that you guys come up with as a group, and they're going to want to do it because they're awesome leaders there. So leaders, as you're coming up with and thinking through or dreaming through ideas, know that there's no bad idea when it comes to serving people. I think a lot of people would have said, Jesus, what are you going to do? You only have a couple of loaves and a couple of fish. Like, you're going to feed everyone? Like, what are you going to do? That sounds crazy. You're spitting in the mud. Why are you doing that? That's nuts. So many great ways of serving people look kind of crazy at the beginning. But they all start somewhere, and there's no bad ideas. So leaders, be encouraged. Your great ideas you come up with your group, they're going to love because you're a part of it. But I really heard something at the end that I really want to cue into. In preparation for what I believe God's doing through this community center, it's not a wait until it's here kind of feeling. Where people are giving now, people are, you know, they have the envelopes, so they're what's the language behind this? I don't want to just make it. They're committing for a couple of years.
Yeah. So
and that's the financial side.
Absolutely. So in terms of the finances, we're committed to doing this debt free. Mm-hmm. We want to honor the incredible gift that we've gotten from the many faithful givers over the years, and the one incredibly generous family who's brought our church out of debt. Mm-hmm. So we're committed to doing this with no debt. But so what that looks like is 2-year pledges. And just to get down to the brass tacks, we're mm-hmm. looking to raise $12 million for this building. And if you guys have any questions about that, please feel free to contact me, cworkman@marinerschurch.org.
And we'll put that in the notes for the podcast so you can check it out. And I think absolutely. I love the transparency of it, because it's I mean, the stuff's out there. It's very open with what we're doing.
But in terms of the 2 years, so if we get the pledges that we need, we would break ground in January, and it's a 9-month construction process. Because we aren't tearing down and rebuilding, we're just repurposing the building that's already there. Mm-hmm. We hope to be opening in fall of 2017. But again, like you said, Justin, this is really just an extension and an expansion of ministries that are already happening here. There's already a great opportunity to jump in. And, you know, we're committed. If you have an idea, we don't need to wait for a building. You know, we'll get it started however we can.
That's totally the thing. I think that there's the excitement around what we're doing with the community center is so great. And I wouldn't say it's a concern, but the thing that I definitely want to talk students away from is we don't need to wait until the community center is done. Like,
no
the idea of the community center is not this this incredibly new vision that it is reliant on the building. The building is gonna be a gift to the community, mm-hmm. and that's our gift to the community. But the ministry that happens within its walls, a lot of those ministries that will take place there are still happening right now.
Yeah.
So when parents and leaders, when you guys sit down with your students and provoke a conversation, either A, around the community center, around, and what we're saying to students is, you know, what can you give up and what can you do to, you mm-hmm. know, raise money to put in your cup, which we're encouraging students to bring cups this weekend, obviously. So it's not just a conversation of, well, what are we going to do when the building is here, and what are we going to do to raise money for the building, and then just wait and not do anything. It's definitely a conversation with families and leaders with your life groups of, what do you want to do now? What do you want to dream about, engage in, be a part of now? Because God's ministry, the ministry of the church, is happening now.
Absolutely.
The building will be here eventually. But the absolutely. Ministry is happening now.
Oh, absolutely. And again, the building and the dream for the building has really just been an extension and a response to the way God is blessing ministry that's already happening here. Our ESL programs that started with 20 people 1 week and the following week had 200. And now we have a waiting list. So, you know, after school programs that, you know, we did a pilot test with 45 students, where most of these after-school programs, they're capped at 45. 45 is just the start for us. So there's really a lot of incredible opportunity. And again, there are so many ministries that I truly believe are in your hearts, in the hearts of your students, that God wants to bring to fruition. And He doesn't need a building to do that. He needs willing hearts. He needs willing hands. And I know, Justin, that what you've been teaching our students is right in line with that. And we want to come together as a church and as a staff to equip you, to equip your kids to do the things and the passions that God's put on your heart.
Yeah. You know, the I've been, you know, new parent, so I've been learning stuff about, you know, as being a parent of, you know, of very small kids, and I talk about it all the time. And I think the newest lesson, and it was the early months were great. Okay, the early months. He was just laying there very docile. I could hold him and we could watch TV together, or we could just look at things together. And, you know, now he's 18 months and he's running around. And I think I still have thoughts of like, well, no, Beckett, I want to do this with you. I want to do this with you. But what I've come to find, and my wife always reminds me of this, that it's you just got to find what they're doing and go play with them at what they're doing. So if his interest is in the puzzles, then let's not try and do something else. Let's just go play with the puzzles. If his interest is in, you know, this, you know, some stuffed animals or whatever, go play with the stuffed animals. Just go along with what he's doing. And I think there's a wisdom in that kind of tracks with, you know, throughout our lives when it comes to our kids. You know, if you can just look at what your kids are doing or what they're interested in doing and help just get on board with that, especially if you're not doing anything. I think there's some great parents who are doing incredible things, and I just love that. But for the families that are kind of still looking for their place to serve, you know, this is a great opportunity to let your kid lead the way. Because if you're not doing anything, then you're not doing anything.
Yep.
So anything more than anything is something. And if you can sit down with your kids and pick their brains of what they're passionate about, what they would like to try and do, and then just get on board with what your kid is doing and let them see you as a parent, support them and excited about them, it's going to meet a lot more. So, I mean, as a parent, it's going to meet a lot more than just the need that you're serving. It's actually going to speak into this trust and build this health with your kid that they have parents that believe in them, that support them, that follow along with their ideas. Even if their ideas to you seem a little crazy, they should, because they're junior high, high school. I mean, some of their ideas should be a little bit outlandish, a little bit crazy, but that's a good thing for kids to see their parents get on board with their kind of crazy, kind of quirky ideas.
Yeah, and you know, something I think is true for students and adults is I think many of us struggle and wish we had that one thing, that one passion that we knew we had and the one place we knew we wanted to serve and we didn't have any doubts or questions about it. I don't think that's the case for most of us. And I remember being a junior higher and I think I had a different interest every week. You know, I was doing a different hobby and, you know, playing a different sport. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for my parents that they just encouraged that. They were willing to let me fumble around and find my way and experiment with the good kind of stuff, you know, ministry and friend groups and
all
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, talk more about the bad kind of stuff. You brought up the good kind. What's this bad kind of stuff you can experiment with? I don't think any parents could understand what that could be, so.
My parents weren't involved in that experimenting part of my life.
I'm sure they're not going to listen to that, no. So they'll be fine. They'll never know.
But I think I just would encourage you as parents and to encourage your kids, you know, if you start to serve, if you take a chance and you step out and you serve somewhere and you're not connecting, that's okay. That's okay. Not all of us have a heart for foster youth. Not all of us have a heart for ESL. Not all of us have a heart for pet vaccinations. All of us have been created so uniquely, and God is often just refining our hearts and revealing our passions to us slowly. And so if you step out and serve and it's not the right fit, try something else. You know, I'd encourage you to just keep trying. And, you know, there's no need for any of that guilt of like, well, I showed up once, now I got to show up every week mm-hmm. for the rest of my life. That's, you know, that just has no place here. It's as important that you find the right fit for you, for your student, as it is that we serve, you know, really it's been said a million times, but it's so true. When you start to serve, you gain so much more than the people you're serving. So knowing that, it's more than okay to keep exploring until you find that right fit.
Yeah. You know, if serving is, it's normal. It's like life. Like there's never going to be a day you wake up and it's just like, oh, and you're just waist deep into serving, waist deep into a ministry. You never wake up or serve at one time, one place, and you're just like, oh, I'm committed forever to this. Like sometimes that happens, but if your hang up is, well, I did it and I didn't like it, or this wasn't the spot for me, you just go serve somewhere, go yes. find something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I can't imagine what my life would have been like if I would have married Julie, my girlfriend, when I was 5 years old. If I would have just, if after I met her, I just stopped looking, like what my life would have been. It would have been completely different. Yeah. You know, I don't know what my life would have been if I, you know, when I was in college, I was, you know, doing some different serve stuff. And I, the very first time I served, I was invited to come work at a kids ministry. Mm. There's a reason I do junior high ministry, not kids ministry. And it didn't go well. The kids were running around. One of them bit me. And not like, I'm not saying that to be funny. I mean, he bit my leg. And it was a terrible experience. And imagine if I would have felt just pigeonholed into working with these biting, you know, piranha kids the rest of my life. That's not God's plan for mm-hmm. us. And I think taking the other, you know, side of it, like you said, you know, feeling that guilt, that's not of God. God is not a God of guilt. That's a tool that Satan will use to just ruin us and cause this doubt and these seeds of doubt. And well, we couldn't, and maybe we shouldn't anymore, and we're not making a difference. God's not a God of guilt. God is a God who restores, who gives opportunity, that there is a place for everyone. But the principle, the path, you know, our direction, not our intention, determine our destination. So if we want to be people who serve and have this vibrant serving life, you know, this community center is going to give such a location for this in our community. But if we want this vibrant serving life, and that's our intention, but the direction we're going is in the opposite direction of serving and making that a part of who we are as a family, then we're never going to get to the destination of being this spirit-filled, you know, lover of serving. But, you know, if you just take one step at a time, you know, just find a place. Find a place with your family. Let your kid lead the way even. Find a place. And if that place doesn't work out, find another place, because there are so many great places to serve. So I love that the community center that we're doing here really walks hand in hand with serving, with families serving, parents with crazy ideas, big ideas. So just to recap, the Beyond campaign is still ongoing, obviously. So parents, this goes out on Friday. So parents will listen to this Friday. It's still ongoing for a few more weeks looking for pledges.
Yeah, we'll be looking for commitments and pledge commitments on November 12th and 13th and the 19th and 20th. We're really hoping to have all our pledges in by the 20th and mm-hmm. see where we're at, because we'd really love to break ground the end of January.
Absolutely.
We want to try to match the momentum that we feel with these ministries and get this building underway. But obviously, you know, we can only go as far as we give. Mm-hmm. And so we're praying, and we believe, we have faith that it's going to come through. And we're excited. We're excited to see how our church rallies around around this vision.
Well, I believe in the community center. I think it's going to be a great tool for our community. And if you have questions, if you as a parent have, you know, adult questions about the community center, about pledging or being a part of the ministry that's happening with the community center and you know, as we pursue the support for that, or if you have questions as a parent about how we're, you know, framing it in junior high and high school and how you as a parent can help partner alongside us and how we're telling our students about it, email us. There's going to be information online. We'll have some links in the notes, the podcast notes for you to check out. But Kathy, thanks so much time. Thanks so much for making the time for this. Thanks for coming down and being part of this whole thing with us. Parents are and leaders are going
to
love this.
Oh, I'm excited to be here, and I love student ministries. It's the heartbeat of this church, and I think that's my excitement around this thing is that and the student participation in the campaign is that this is really about the future of our church. And obviously students are the future of our church. Mm-hmm. They are the church right now. And so to see them getting excited has been a real gift to me. And I appreciate you giving me the time.
That's great. Well, hey, guys, parents, we'll see you all this weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Don't forget about Sugar Fest. Don't forget about some of the other parent things that are coming up for families and marriages and whatnot. But just remember, TardyCast, we never want you to be late to leadership. So enjoy yourselves, and we'll see you guys this weekend.